Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Who's hungry tonight? Conference might be over, but the encounter stays with us, right? And the measure, you remember the message I talked about, how Jesus was in the same room, Pharisee, woman, right? Pharisee, woman, two people, only one encountered him. Jesus didn't change, he was the constant. The people were the variable. Tonight, Jesus is in the room. Whether you encounter him or not is entirely up to you. Tonight, would you stand to your feet as we welcome Pastor Corey Turner as he comes?
Come on, does somebody love Jesus in this place tonight? Come on, come on. We're going to let it all hang out tonight. Come on, come on. Just lift your spirit, lift your shout, lift your tongue, lift your heart, lift your hand, lift your voice. He is worthy to be praised. He deserves all the honor. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, Jesus, we worship you tonight. We magnify you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Come on, keep it going. He deserves the highest praise and honor. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, and everybody said, come on, one last time. Let's just give God a big hand of praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stay standing for just a moment. What a significant weekend in God. I tell you, I've loved every second of it, even the tired moments. Has anyone been a little bit tired at different points? What do you got to complain about? I preached six times, for goodness sake. But seriously, I've loved every single moment. And I was just reflecting on, number one, we wouldn't be here because of Jesus. But secondly, we wouldn't be here without the incredible heart, vision, and leadership of Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee. And is Ken around anywhere? Oh, you're just there. You're like the Holy Spirit. You just disappeared and came back. Or maybe I'm so tired I can't see straight. But I was thinking about you guys this afternoon. And for those of you who are not aware, 6.5 years ago, a leader in Melbourne, a great man of God, said to me, I've got someone you got to meet. And I said, oh yeah, who's that? He goes, Ken Lee. And I go, who's Ken Lee? And he began to rave about your pastors and then had no opportunity to connect with you guys. But then I got an invitation to come and speak nearly 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. And I was counting. I think I've been here like 16 times, 15 times or something since then. And I've seen you move out of that basketball court and stadium at the Perth Convention Centre. And what God is doing all over the earth. And you just need to know, Pastor Ken and Chrissy, to Simone and I, is not just friends, your family. Your family. And I asked Pastor Ken to be on my board, and because I recognize the grace and the call and the anointing that's on his life. I want to thank you guys for opening up your heart to me and my family, for believing in me, for making room for my call, my gift, my anointing to come. Every time I come here, I just feel like family. And I just want to do this journey with you guys. I'm stepping forward into a significant season of my own in God. I want to do the journey with these guys, with you. Can we just thank Jesus for your pastors in Jesus' name? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You can stay standing just for one moment. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you so much for your presence and your goodness in this place. God, I pray overflow in me right now. Overflow, oh God, in this house. Overflow in this room. God, we thank you for what you have done this weekend, but we are so conscious that, Lord, we've elevated to a new plane, a new place in you. God's saying, pop your head up, look around. It's a new land. It's a new day, like a periscope that surfaces, pops up out of the water, has a look around. God says, I'm giving you a holy, divine periscope to have a vision of a new day, a new land. Some of your campus buildings are way too small for what I'm about to do. I'm telling you, I was at Port Kennedy this morning. We had church this morning, baby. I'm telling you, there is an anointing on that house. There is an anointing on Pastors Matt and Mel. I tell you, I got in there and it just burst forth. I said, nice property, nice building. The only problem is it's way too small. They're already at capacity. And something just tells me that this house is going to accelerate very quickly. And I want to speak into that. In fact, I preached a specific, I changed my message. Oh, I hate the uncomfortableness of changing the message at the last minute. But I've learned, if you want to be used by God, get used to being uncomfortable. Because it's not about you, it's not about your flesh, it's about what God wants to do. And I changed my message. I believe it was a specific word for that house, but I was praying this afternoon, Matt and Mel, and I just felt like God said, it's a word for the entire movement. It's a word for the entire house. Why don't you get your seat? And I want to invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. If you were at Port Kennedy this morning, you're going to get a double dose. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. One simple verse. It says this, and the word of God continued to increase. Everybody say increase. And the disciples multiplied greatly. Everybody say multiplied. In Jerusalem, in Myrie, and in Port Kennedy, and in Belmont, and in Cambodia, and in Cork Island, the disciples multiplied greatly, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. I want to speak to you tonight on spiritual momentum, divine momentum, because I believe prophetically you are stepping into divine momentum. Now, this morning when I was at Port Kennedy, God showed me a picture of a steam engine at full speed, at full force, and God said to me, unstoppable momentum. And I believe that's a word for that campus, but I believe it's a word for this ministry. Unstoppable momentum. Now, there was a movie made several years ago called Unstoppable with Denzel Washington in it. Now, how many of us know if Jesus was in the flesh today, he would be Denzel Washington, all right? That's not Bible, that's my opinion, but I am a prophet. It could be right. And so Denzel Washington is the savior of the day. And the whole story is about an unmanned freight train, of course, Hollywood, carrying chemicals and no air brakes, just pounding through obstacle after obstacle. And there was no one there to stop it except Denzel Washington. You know, I began to think about how, and did some research, a moving train can smash through any obstacle. In fact, a 5,500-ton train takes nearly a kilometer to stop once the brakes hit. But you can take that same 5,500-ton train when it's stationary, and even a small block of wood will keep that apparently unstoppable momentum train dead in its tracks. You'd be amazed at when you're stationary, when you're stagnant, when you're apathetic in God, the littlest obstacle, the littlest thing can actually interrupt and break the momentum that God wants to bring into your life. You see, momentum is the force gained by motion or a series of events. And it doesn't just apply to physics. It applies to the spirit realm. Momentum in a church makes change easier. It's amazing how quickly you can adapt, how quickly you can change things when momentum is in the house. It's like, and when there's not momentum in the house, if you want to move the keyboard from that side of stage to that side of stage, you just learn you got to move 1 inch at a time. And there are some churches, unfortunately, that once had momentum, once had revival, once had overflow that you are currently living in, that you are currently enjoying, but they got distracted. Something happened that interrupted. And I feel like this is not only a word of exhortation and prophetic insight into where you are, but it's also God is warning you to guard the good deposit that's been entrusted to you. When you have momentum, you can overcome obstacles easier. It's like Cork Island, no trouble at all. It's like Phnom Penh, Cambodia, no trouble at all. When you got momentum, there's amazing things you can do in God. And if you think that Cork Island is just going to be, you know, just the next one, and then we're all going to calm down for a little while, and Pastor Ken and Chrissy, don't get ahead of yourself and just calm down. But you got to understand, God has got to hold a nation's church. God has got a hold on you. Get used to being uncomfortable. Either you want to go into the promised land or you want to simply be a spectator of it. Be careful what you pray for. God takes your prayers seriously. Be careful what you pray for. He's like, you really want it? Okay, well, here we go. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to require you to enlarge your capacity. And I believe that one of the greatest things that's happening in this season is an enlargement of your internal spiritual capacity for where God is taking you in the future. With momentum, you can win hearts easier. It's amazing when you got momentum in the house, souls just start to get saved. And what starts as a little trickle all of a sudden becomes a little river, a little creek. And then what goes into a creek comes into a river. And what starts as a river heads into an ocean. Let me tell you something. God's intention for you is that verse that disciples will multiply greatly right across this movement. I remember I planted a church and led it for several years. And the first 3 years we had momentum, godly momentum. Buildings were being added. People were being multiplied. People were getting saved. It was like 60% of the church were first-time believers. We grew from 13 to nearly 500 in 3 years. We had incredible momentum. And then after the third year mark, all sorts of distractions, all sorts of things got in. I got distracted. I lost my vision and my focus a little bit. And all of a sudden, it interrupted the momentum for 2 years. You know, in Acts chapter 2, the church had unstoppable momentum. They had unity. They had miracles, they had generosity, they had favor, they were being added daily to the house. But in Acts chapter 6, all of a sudden, there came a complaint against the church by the widows who were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. Because the apostles weren't anointed to actually administrate certain things in the house. They were anointed for prayer, they were anointed for the ministry of the word, and they were anointed for leadership. And what they needed to do is find a group of anointed people that could be the team that could meet the welfare and practical pastoral needs of the house on the ground so that the apostles and the leaders of the house could stay focused on God's vision. Focused on what needed to happen. The next city, the next leader, the next ministry, the next beachhead. You see, when the apostles refocused on prayer and the word, the church got its momentum back. When you've got spiritual momentum, God's word increases. What does the Bible say? Verse 6, the word of God continued to increase. You know, there is a direct correlation between God's word and momentum in your life. When God creates, He creates by the spoken word. God said, Genesis 1:3, let there be light. There was light. And so if you want momentum in your ministry and in your life, don't just become more busy. Don't just try and make more things happen in the natural. Get a word from God. Position yourself and say, God, speak to me. Every shift of momentum in my life was because God spoke a word. When I transitioned out of the police force into a full-time ministry in the context of a local church, no matter what you do, you're called to ministry. But for me, there was a specific call on my life. It was prompted by a word. Then when I moved out of that season of preparation and study and into pastoring at a church, it was prompted, it was transitioned by a word. Whenever you have transition in your life, whenever you have a move of God in your life, there will be a flurry of prophetic activity. That's why to anyone who's received a prophetic word from anyone this conference or this weekend, that's why if God has spoken to you a rhema prophetic word through the preaching this weekend, you've been prayed for, something's happened, please don't take it lightly. Please do not despise the prophecies previously made about you. Don't take lightly the words that have been spoken over you, because they are forming something. They're forming the purpose of God in your life. They are leading to your overflow. Your overflow is not in how you feel. It's in what the Spirit of God has said to you. It's in what the Spirit of God is doing in your heart, doing in your life. It comes through His Word. You see, in the kingdom of God, momentum is created by how obedient you are to the Word, not by how busy you are. Temptation in ministry, temptation in the Western church is to be busy, busy, busy. And there's lots of people who now at the end of this weekend have conference brain. And you know what I'm talking about. And you've been serving and volunteering and giving and doing all manner of things. And it's sort of like we're tired and we need to go to Noosa, Queensland and have a holiday. And now we need a break. But you've got to understand, it's not about how busy you are. There are seasons of busyness and there are seasons of rest. It's not about how busy you are. It's about how obedient you are. Stop looking for open doors. Your next open door is obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. Pastors Roland and Leanne didn't just, you know, hey, great idea. Let's go to Ireland and plant a church. No, no, no. They heard the word of the Lord. And this is what I love about this house. This is what I wish that more and more believers and churches would lay a hold of, is that planting churches and reaching the lost is not just because, you know, it's a cool trend or thing to do. It's got to be prompted. It's got to be birthed out of the heart of God. It's got to come through the leading, the rhema inspired word of the Holy Spirit. I've discovered that's the only thing that will produce fruit in your life. It's the only thing that will lead to overflow in your life. Everything I ever tried in my own strength never measured up to the fullness of what I did when I simply obeyed what God asked me to do. So important. A lot of us run faster thinking our pace is what will build more momentum. Now, Ecclesiastes 9:11 says the race is not to the swift nor the battle to the strong. It's not how fast you run, it's the word you carry. You can arrive first, you can be the head rat in the rat race and carry nothing and have no substance and have no anointing and have no message, and you roll up and the door opens to you, but it sort of falls flat. Why? Because you ran fast, but you're not carrying something of substance in your heart and in your life. God has called you, Nations Church, not to simply run hard and expand the kingdom. He's called you to carry something. He's called you to carry a word. He's called you to carry an anointing. Because my heart for you is not that just you've received a word this weekend, but it goes to the next thing. When you've got spiritual momentum, disciples aren't just added, they are multiplied. At the end of the day, all weekend, as we've been just some of the, you know, Pastor Jonathan, and I so loved his ministry, and just Pastor Ken and Chrissy and others, and Tony, whereas we're just talking, it's always coming back to, we've got to make disciples. Discipleship is not an option, Nations Church. Disciples aren't just made by a conference. Disciples aren't just made by a service. Disciples are made life on life, one at a time, and then in connect groups and small groups, and then at citywide leaders gatherings. And all of these things contribute to your spiritual formation and your spiritual development. But the best thing that you can do out of this conference this weekend is to wake up tomorrow morning or before you go to bed tomorrow night and get with Jesus. Pull out your notepad, pull out your Bible, start to read, start to write, start to put down on the script of your heart the word of the Lord for your life, because it all begins tonight. It all begins tonight. I love conference. Conference God is amazing. I mean, it's just powerful. It's like we all want to be with conference God, but not too many people want to be with local church God. I know not this church, maybe a church down the road. But all I'm saying is the same God who was at conference is the same God who's at the local church. The same God who moved powerfully and healed the sick and answered prayers at conference is the same God that's waiting for you. He's your helper, your wonderful counselor. It's waiting for you when you wake up in the morning. He's waiting for you when you go to work. He's waiting for you when you go back to youth this week. He's waiting for you when you go to your small group. He's waiting for you when you invite someone to church next week. The same God that was at Overflow is the same God that goes with you into the rest of this week. You see, the Bible says the number of disciples multiplied greatly. You need to understand, written to the DNA of your spirit of creation in Genesis 1 is the command to be fruitful and multiply. Every living organism has in seed form the power to reproduce after its own kind. In fact, I was doing some research and found when archaeologists discovered Pharaoh's tomb, they discovered seeds that were 4,000 years old. True story. They took those same seeds out of Pharaoh's tomb. They planted them in the ground. They watered those seeds, and those seeds produced a fruit and a crop and a harvest. Why? Because whether you're old, young, or in between, written into the DNA code of your spirit, of your life, of your purpose, of your destiny, is the seed of fruitfulness, the seed of multiplication. I'm looking for some Calebs in the crowd tonight. I'm looking for some Joshuas. I'm looking for some Moses who say, I may be old, but I've got the same vigor that I used to have. I got the same God. I got the same promise. I got the same vision. Now give me my mountain in Jesus' name. It's not about how old you are. It's not about how young you are. It's about the seed you carry. The seed you carry. I expect fruitfulness in my life. It's not about how you look on the outside. It's about the spirit you carry. Now, do your best. Dress yourself up. Put some, you know, color me maybe. What is, I don't know what it is. But do something. Ladies, guys, however it works for you, knock yourself out. But here's the deal. Charismatic personality will only take you so far. External superficial gift and talent will only take you so far. What builds a house is a revelation, is the seed of the Spirit, the seed of the Word of God. And when God sees that someone is stewarding the seed, all of a sudden He starts to pour favor and blessing and anointing upon that. You see, God has designed creation to work with you, not against you. You are not a victim. Stop telling the world. Stop telling yourself and self-confessing your own doom and destruction. You are not a victim. The world is not, you know, just automatically against you. If God be for you, who dare be against you? I don't walk into churches and conferences and I don't walk into workplaces and cafes thinking, oh, it's going to be a hard one, resist. No, let me tell you, so I walk in expecting blessing. I walk in expecting favor. I walk in expecting doors opening, signs and wonders manifesting. What you expect, you receive. What you sow for, you reap. I walk around expecting I am a blessing waiting to happen in Jesus' name. It's not because of me. I live with me. I
know what me is. It's not because of me. It's because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you come and live out of that, Christ and Him crucified, as we heard all weekend, then the foolishness of the world will confound the wisdom of the wise. God calls for fruitfulness from our lives, and when it's missing, the cycle of life isn't complete. You know, in the parable of the talents, the parable of the miners, I talked about it on the conference, and the minimum percentage increase in each of those parables is 100% increase. How'd you like that expectation in your job? We expect 100% increase. You're like, you're so demanding, you're so harsh. And yet Jesus says, that's the minimum. Not me, Jesus. And so, how does that happen? It happens through stewardship. There are things you can't do, but there are things that He can do. What you can do, you do. And what God can do, just if you do what you do, He'll do what He does. See, when Jesus was hungry for a mid-afternoon snack, sometimes I think we read about Jesus in the Gospels, and we sort of, you know, elevate Him to be this, you know, Superman, superhero that can't identify with the weaknesses and the issues of our daily lives. Yes, He was fully and properly God, but He was also fully and properly man. He wrestled with lust. He didn't sin, but you better believe He did. He had testosterone in His body, baby. And I know we don't like to think or talk about that in that way, our precious Jesus, but the reality is not only was He the Son of God, He was a man, He was a person, He was flesh just like you and I. He wrestled with things. He had to work through identity stuff as He began to relate to His parents and relate to His friends. He had friends and family, and He had all sorts of things in His life. Well, one day He was hungry, and He's looking for a mid-afternoon snack, and there's no cafe, there's no 7-Eleven, there's no dome, and he's walking around. And so what's the next best thing? He comes across a fig tree, and the fig tree has produced leaves but has not produced fruit. And He begins to curse the fig tree. He begins to call the fig tree to perish. And all of a sudden, the fig tree withers away to its root within about 24-hour period. And you're reading this, and the disciples come by, and they're amazed. Jesus, the fig tree that you cursed and you prophesied over has withered away to its roots. Why so harsh, Jesus? When I read it, I'm like, don't get beat up on the fig tree. The fig tree's just hanging out, doing what it's supposed to do. I mean, you know, give it a break. It's not producing fruit. But Jesus was trying to communicate a principle to us that the fig tree was violating a rule of creation. It was receiving life, but it wasn't passing it on. You've been created not just to receive of this weekend, of the life force of heaven. You've been created and called to pass it on. And the key to avoiding spiritual barrenness is keep passing on what God has given to you. If you've received the gift of life, you're supposed to pass it on. If you're a disciple of Jesus, go and disciple somebody else. Don't just say, feed me, pastor. Feed me, you know, at Citywide Leaders event. Feed me, feed me, feed me. You're supposed to take what you fed and reproduce it and pass it on to somebody else's life. A disciple is different to a crowd. Lots of crowds came around Jesus, but most of the crowds that came around Jesus because they liked Jesus in the idea of Him as a Savior. Save me from my problems. Save us from our enemies. Save me from my hunger. Feeding of the 5,000. Save me, save me, save me. But the moment that Jesus started to call for lordship, and the moment that Jesus started to ask people to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow Him, or step away from the vehicle. I thought you were just there to save me from my problems and save me from my sin. He's not only Savior, He is Lord. He's Lord of your psychology. He's Lord of your biology. He's Lord of your ideology. He's Lord of relation. He's Lord of every single ology in your life. And he's either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. So it isn't that a crowd got multiplied in Jerusalem. It was disciples were multiplied. You could be a church of thousands, literally tens of thousands, and not be a church of disciples. And yet we as the world would applaud you and say, amazing, fantastic. And it's great to have a crowd. And sometimes a crowd is the first step, but it's got to move from the crowd to the core to the committed. Those on the periphery don't get to experience what those who are at the core and at the committed get to experience. Why? Because there's this attitude that says, this far, God, and no further. I'll let you into this part of my heart. I didn't plan to say any of this. I'm speaking to someone in this room right now. This part of my heart, you're allowed in. This part of my heart, this 90 minutes on a Sunday, you're allowed in. This part of my week, you're allowed in. But in every other part, hands off. The keys are mine. You are not allowed to enter the door of my heart and occupy all the rooms of my life. God doesn't just want one of your rooms. He wants the whole mansion. He wants the whole house. He wants your whole life. What he is looking for is people to live with open-heartedness. Live with an open heart. I remember when we launched our church, 320 people turned up on the first day of launch. We had house church for several months, and we had 13 people, grew to 20, and then we had 320 people all turn up, and I'm like, revival, awesome. And then by the end of the month, 60 people were left, true story. And I'm like, at this rate, it's like I'm going to be crucified very soon, like my master. And it just was like, you know, we're going backwards at a quick rate. But then all of a sudden, we worked out this was the core that God had called to build with us. And then we just started to disciple, and then we just started to build into their lives. And every Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. prayer, and then 7 a.m. discipleship. And then they go to their work, and then we do stuff. We had like 5 prayer meetings a week for the first 3 years, every morning at 6 a.m. It was amazing. The correlation, the moment we stopped that, got distracted, everything stopped, everything plateaued. Let me tell you something. One of the primary keys to your discipleship as a house, I know, I sense it, is the call to prayer and intercession in this house. What you can have the best preachers, you can have the best musicians, but if you don't pray, you don't have an open heaven. And one of the reasons why this weekend has been so profound, so groundbreaking, I've talked to so many people, they're like, I feel so different. It's like I'm a completely different person. Wives were coming in this morning saying, coming up to Pastor Ken saying, thank you, I have a new husband today. And we were a bit concerned about that conference with our exchanging partners, but no, that it was actually that God was doing a work in people's hearts. But it all happened. Why? Because you were stewarding prayer meetings. You were stewarding intercession. You were stewarding your lives in such a way. It wasn't just that the breakout, the breakthrough isn't about just that. It's the lead up into it. You want unstoppable momentum. It always is birthed in prayer. And out of prayer, God speaks. And when God speaks, you store it in your heart and you become a disciple. And then out of disciple, as a disciple of Jesus, you start to disciple others. But also when you've got spiritual momentum, those who oppose you won't be able to resist you. Those who oppose you won't be able to resist you. Say, what on earth is, where is that in the text? Well, it says in verse 6, a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You go, what's that about? I thought the priests were supposed to be the ones who were for the church, who were on board with what God was doing. Well, interestingly, you do the background study, priests were the core of the church's opposition. The very ones who should have been cheering them on were the ones who were opposing them. And when momentum increases, so does the resistance. So don't be surprised this week if you have some interesting encounters. I'm not trying to prophesy doom. I'm not trying to prophesy negativity over you. I'm just saying the reality is when you come down from the mountaintop and you start to dig again and build into the valley, it's amazing what the enemy will try and throw at you. You've received a word, you've received a promise, you've received, you've been in this atmosphere of unity and freedom and open heaven, and then you're by yourself and something happens at work. When it happens this week, don't freak out. Don't cry in a corner. Don't complain to God. Just say, I know what this is, but just remind yourself, those who oppose me won't be able to resist the call of God, the anointing of the Spirit, what God has done in my life. You see, Satan isn't going to stand by and give you a golf clap and just say, well, fantastic, Nations Church, just wonderful, great conference, great job. I guess my work is done here. I'll just get out the way and you just go for it. Oh, no, he's getting ready. He's already devising strategies, but greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. Let me tell you something. You got to keep a hold of the revelation that God has given you this weekend. You got to leave out of overflow. You got to stir the overflow of your spirit every time the enemy comes and attacks you. Remind him of his future. Every time the enemy comes and attacks you about something in your life, something not happening, lack, whatever it is, remind him of his future and what God has called you to. You know, when we planted a church, we had a church down the road who I'd been on team at. In fact, some of the elders got together and threatened legal action. True story. And we'd done absolutely nothing wrong. We had the blessing of the senior leaders, but some of the elders weren't happy about that. We had a legal document end up in our mailbox. Said, if you plant a church within a 35-kilometer radius of us, we're going to sue you. And so I turned up to the meeting with the elders, with the pastor who was for us, trying to talk these guys down, but they're just doing what they're doing. And the first words that came out of their mouth was, now that you're in competition with us. And I said, whoa, hang on a second. I said, hey, listen, when you win, I win. When I win, you win. We're on the same team. Your church is stronger than you think. Don't let insecurity, don't let jealousy, don't let this, and almost hardly anyone sort of changed or did anything. And sort of like, you realize that the very people who should be supporting you are often the very ones that are resisting you. I remember I had a pastor meet me in a cafe, and we wanted to partner with him and his church and go into one of the local high schools and start to do high school ministry together. And he said, no, you can't come in. I own that school. And I said, well, I thought the Department of Education owned the school, but that's cool. I said, but hey, we want to work with you, and we love what you're doing. We're not here to take anything. We want to support you, and we're a king. We're the part of the kingdom. We want to build with you. And there was just resistance and anger. In fact, there was a bit of a mushroom cloud over that cafe. You might have seen it from a distance across the Nullarbor. And there's a few clouds in Melbourne, but this was a big one. And I remember I walked out of there, and the Spirit of God said to me, son, just hand it over to me. I will fight your battles for you. I'll take care of it. And we had to wait patiently, but we prayed and we kept on reaching out. Within 12 months, we got into that school and God began to shift things. In fact, we had no youth ministry before that, but the first six salvations, the first six young people in our youth ministry came from that very school. You see, there are things that God puts in your heart you got to persevere in. You got to keep going in. I remember a businessman was unhappy in the church, and he didn't like some of the stylistic things that were going on. And he'd seen different churches, and he had certain ideas. So he turned up to my office, true story, with an essay of all of the theological things that we were doing wrong and all the stylistic things that we were doing wrong. And as I'm sitting there listening to this barrage, this lecture, I just felt like Christ, the Lord said to me, I just want you to love this guy. I just want you to be Christ-like. Just close your mouth. Just listen. Try and do your best to answer his questions. Everything in my flesh wanted to rise up, right, and introduce him to Jesus, really. But I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to receive this, not in my spirit, but I'm just going to show love to this guy. As we began to listen, 2 hours passed. It was lots of patience. It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. And I'm there, and at the end of it, he realizes, I just began to in Christ's likeness, respond to him and just explain and help him understand why and where we were coming from. At the end of it, he goes, he looks at me and he says, I have a beautiful holiday house on Phillip Island. He says, anytime you want to use my holiday house for free, just go right ahead. And for the next decade, every holidays, I was in that man's holiday house in Jesus' name. You see, he'd come at me with all sorts of opposition. He'd come at me with all sorts of resistance. But instead, my enemy blessed me in Jesus' name. The very one who came to oppose me actually became my greatest supporter, my greatest encourager. If you will respond Christ-like, not in the flesh, not pointing out all the things that they're wrong, not in pride, but in Christ's likeness, you'd be amazed at the blessings that will come your way. God can handle the battles for you. What he needs is just someone to stand with him and carry the same heart. What did Paul say to Timothy? Paul said, let no one discount you or despise you for your youth. Every single one of us in life has someone who discounts us and despises us for something in our lives. Could be, I don't like your preaching, I don't like your outfit, I don't like your income, I don't like this, I don't like that. Someone in your world somewhere is going to discount you. He's going to despise you. How do you respond to that? Paul said to Timothy, set them an example in speech, in conduct, in faith, and in love. In other words, if you will respond like Christ, it'll be like you'll heap burning coals upon their head and they can't help but become your friend. A great many of the priests who were opposing the church became obedient to the faith. Why? Because they just kept on message. They just kept on the focus of Jesus and declaring Jesus and doing what God has called them to do. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, Nation Church. No person who opposes you is beyond the reach of God. Some of you got loved ones that are far away from the God and from God, and you've concluded that they're too hard to reach, too difficult to reach. No person who opposes you or who is far away from God is beyond his reach. You see, momentum belongs to those who are consistently Christ-like in the face of resistance. And I love what Job 17:9 says. The righteous keep moving forward. The righteous just keep moving forward. Is there any righteous people in this room tonight? Some of you are like, no, I'm not right. No, no, if you're in Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, the righteous just keep moving forward. I'm telling you, Nations Church, the word of the Lord to you is you have been marked with the divine momentum. You've been marked with divine momentum. No one and nothing, no devil, no spirit can stop Nations Church. No external persecution can stop Nations Church. The only thing that can stop Nations Church is Nations Church. God is for you. God has called you. To every leader in this room, to whom much has been given, much is required. To every board member, small group leader, departmental leader, you've been entrusted with an anointing, with a grace, with a call. To whom much has been given, much is required. And I want to invite you to stand on your feet with me tonight. And I know this is a bit of a moment in God, but I actually want us to finish in praise tonight, because we've got so much to praise God for. We've got so much to thank God for. I just want to invite you, why don't you just lift your hands all across this room. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for how you're moving. God, we recognize that you are in this moment. This is a time and a season where you are speaking, you are moving, you're expanding, you're realigning relationships. There are new alliances coming. there are new ministries that God is going to align you to. It's a picture of your future. It's a picture of what God is taking you to. There are new nations that He's going to knit to your hearts. There are new men and women of God that is going to come into your life. God just began to speak to me right there about South Africa. He began to speak to me about South Africa. I just feel in God permission to just throw it out there. I feel like there is a person of peace. There is a door opening to you nations in South Africa. Oh my gosh, I feel God on that. I feel God on that. I see some doors of ministry opening, Pastor Ken and Chrissy. I see doors opening to South Africa. And the Lord says, get ready. Get ready, says the Lord. I'm going to knit your hearts. I'm going to knit your hearts to the land of South Africa. And the call of God is going to come upon people in this house. And I'm going to begin to give strategies. And I'm going to begin, it's going to begin through relationships of churches and leaders in that nation. But the Lord says that I'm going to open up the gates. And I'm going to open up the doors. And God says that you're going to have access, free access to come and to go, to come and to go. And Father, we come. Come on, you should be praying right now in this room. Come on right now. Father, I just pray, oh God, that you would begin to open South Africa. Oh God, open South Africa. Pour out a blessing. Pour out a harvest. Pour out, oh Lord, fruitfulness and overflow. In the name of Jesus, come on, just begin to speak in tongues over that word right now. South Africa shall be saved. South Africa shall be saved. South Africa shall... It just got into my spirit. He just began to speak. Come on, right now, if you know that God is speaking to you, I just want you to get out from where you are, to come and stand down the front and say, God, here is my life. I'm called to go to the island. I'm called to go to South Africa. I'm called to go. I'm called to go to Cambodia. I'm called to go. If that's you, why don't you just come right now? God is speaking. God is speaking. God is speaking. We just stepped into something in God right there. We just stepped into something in God right there. South Africa shall be saved. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, all across this room right now, if you know God's calling you, God's calling you to Ireland, God's calling you to South Africa, God's calling you. I've just messed up the program, but I'm telling you, God is on the move right now in this house. Come on, band, lead us on. Sing with everything you got. Sing over us right now.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.